Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. What an honor that is. And on today's show, we'll be talking about the DNC email hack, the meltdown, which couldn't have happened to a nicer group of people. And then there's the most important thing that happened last week at the RNC that many conservatives are apparently blind to. And then there is, wow, how devastating, the terrorist attack in Munich, Germany, which the government there, the New York Times, the BBC, most of the media, says that it was not an Islamic terrorist attack because the terrorist who shouted Allahu Akbar as he began murdering children at a fast food restaurant, they can't find a connection between him and Islamic terrorists. How's that? And he's shouting Allahu Akbar. And then also, before all that, this week, well, I'll be flying to New York City to film an episode on a TV network on marijuana, the use of marijuana. We'll tell you guys about that later. And then also, what else? A creation conference in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Can't wait for that at Concordia University. That should be great. So I'll be going from Manhattan to Detroit, and then to that conference, and then back home in time for church on Sunday at Denver Bible Church. But this week, big news in Colorado, Heaven Fest is this Friday and Saturday, July 29th and 30th. And tomorrow I get to speak with one of the organizers on the show. We've gone to Heaven Fest, I think, three times, three different years. Our kids love it. We love it. And some of the bands and the performers, the singers, you know, I'm older, right? I'm 57. But I've heard of these guys, like Lecrae and Family Force 5. And then, actually, there's a whole bunch here. Tadashi, Building 429, interesting. Random Hero. Hey, Biff Gore is going to be there Friday afternoon. So if you go, you got to be there Friday afternoon to hear Biff Gore. You know, he's from The Voice, NBC's The Voice. He did so well when he sang there. He's a conservative, Christian, pro-life president of Colorado Right to Life. And when he was on The Voice, and we're all friends with Biff, and so that show, I had never seen it before, but apparently the judges, who are each one famous, they're not facing you when you're singing. They're facing away from you. The back of their chairs are toward you, and you're on stage singing, because they just want to judge you on your voice. That's it. Not on your appearance, just your voice. It's called The Voice. So the goal is to get at least one judge to turn around during your singing so that they're facing you. And that means that they want to be your coach to help you try to win the whole competition. And so Biff is singing, and it really was exciting. And this one judge turns around, and we're like, all right, Biff, you're in. Because if nobody turns around, you're done. And then another judge turns around. He gets two. And then by the next chorus, he gets a third judge and finally a fourth judge. All four judges turned around. All four. That's amazing. And they suggested that he go on a date with some young, pretty woman there on the show. One of the judges. Something like, you know, not quite that, but something like that. And he said, I'm sorry, my pregnant wife is home with our youngest child, and I lead worship at our church. So that's not going to be an option. But anyway, Biff Gore is just awesome. And who else? 10th Avenue North. And then the after party, Transform DJs. We love the Transform DJs guys for being principled pro-life Christians. And so did I say Random Hero? Random Hero. Did I say Family Force 5? Did I say Lecrae? Yeah, I said all those guys. There's also a splash zone. And there is a kid zone, sponsored by Adventures in Odyssey. The splash zone will be great. There's a car and bike show. That makes total sense because, after all, it's at Bandimere Speedway, right? On C-470 Morrison Road. So it's at the Speedway. So, of course, there's a car and bike show during Heaven Fest. And then there's a sports zone, volleyball, spike ball, and all that. So it's going to be a great time. And our kids and their friends are going. I'd be going too, but I'll be in Manhattan. So the DNC email hack, you know, just an expose of what's going on inside the DNC with WikiLeaks publishing about 20,000 emails from the DNC, not from 8 years ago or 4 years ago, but from last year to May 2016. So 20,000 emails over the last year and a half. And it shows the total corruption of the DNC. And you guys have heard about all the reports. So I'll just make a comment that hasn't been said. And it's this, that Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the chairman of the DNC, has been forced to resign. And she was going to gavel in and gavel out. She's supposed to be a full part of the convention this week. And that's all, that's over with, right? She's out. They tried it this morning with the Florida delegation, and there was an uproar and a tumult. And so she just, they gave up. She's out. But it's not Debbie Wasserman Schultz who did the coup at the DNC to violate all of their rules and all of the alleged integrity that they would have to their own supporters and to their own members, to their own voters, to the Democrats. It's not that Schultz did that. This was all orchestrated by Hillary Clinton. So the Clintons, whoever they get close to, they turn them into criminals, into lawbreakers, into unethical operatives. And they sacrifice just this huge parade of human beings sacrificed to the raw ambition of Hillary Clinton. And even Bill Clinton's presidency was mostly an expression of the ambition of Hillary Clinton. Even his presidency. He cared more about physical pleasures than he did about ruling the world or abortion or anything. But Hillary, she couldn't care less if she never had another physical pleasure in her life as long as she could keep child killing epidemic. If she could do that, she would give up everything. At any rate, the DNC, the fact that Debbie Wasserman Schultz has been forced to resign is such a distraction to what every Democrat obviously knows, and that is that Hillary Clinton orchestrated the takeover of the DNC in violation of their charter, in violation of their rules, and defrauding those hundreds of thousands of Democrats who donated money to not only the DNC, but the state parties and the candidates, defrauded them all. So that's about the DNC email hack, which it couldn't have happened to a nicer group of people. And that, you know, and yesterday at Denver Bible Church, Sunday school, we go verse by verse through the Bible. We're in Isaiah chapter 60. We're approaching the end of the book. And so after the study, we asked, you know, what book should we do next? We tend to bounce around Old Testament, New Testament, but we've covered so much of the New Testament. So should we go right into Jeremiah? I don't know. That was one of the suggestions. But at any rate, in Isaiah 60, similar to what Jesus says in the Gospels, that your evil deeds will find you out. They will be exposed. Your sin will find you out. Remember what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy? Some men's sins precede them to judgment, and the sins of others follow. So what does that mean? Well, for example, Hillary Clinton, just to use an example. When we all get to Judgment Day, most of the world will not be surprised to see the evil things that she has done and that she will be judged for if she does not repent. Where there's life, there's hope. And so she still could repent, although it's looking increasingly unlikely. But for other people, when they get to Judgment Day, there will be a gasp, shock at the crimes and the sins and the betrayals that they have committed. So some men's sins precede them to judgment. In other words, your reputation precedes you. That's where that expression comes from, in 1 Timothy. But the sins of others will follow them there, because we only find out what they did once we get there, when, as Jesus said, your sin will find you out. In fact, the things that were whispered in the darkness will be shouted from the rooftops. So everybody's going to know. And it was interesting, we were in Isaiah chapter 60, and on that verse, as we're talking about the DNC email hack meltdown and how what they thought was in private and in secret became exposed to the whole world. And that's happening more and more. It's really pretty funny. Okay, what else? Then there's the Islamic terrorist attack in Munich, Germany, and the most important thing that happened last week at the RNC. And so let's address that quickly. Ted Cruz supported homosexual rights in his speech. Rudy Giuliani supported homosexual rights. And the speechwriters and Rudy handled it like the immoral pro that he is, and made sure that he would say this right as he knew he had an applause line. In fact, so much of his speech was one continued applause line after another. And so he knew that the delegates would be on their feet, cheering, clapping. And so he tagged on homosexual rights to the preceding applause line. And so the whole place is wildly applauding. And then the camera goes to Mike Pence, and he's applauding homosexual rights. And remember, Peter Thiel spoke. He was the highlight before Donald Trump, as the world looks at it. PayPal co-founder and Facebook billionaire, early investor in Facebook, openly homosexual, and thousands of RNC delegates, they're all applauding. For the most part, they're all applauding. And then Donald Trump affirming homosexuality and bragging that the whole stadium is applauding. So this is the most significant thing that happened at the RNC. Remember, that's the Republican National Convention, the Republican. Because 2,000 years ago, they tried the publicans. Remember, Jesus would confront the publicans, and it was bad for them. And so now we're trying the Republicans. But then Ted Cruz, if you remember, basically said, the Constitution stands for homosexual rights. I'm paraphrasing, but really, to paraphrase it just a bit more, I stand for homosexual rights. Or to go just a bit more, we stand for homosexual rights. And the camera would go to Mike Pence applauding when each of these guys spoke for homosexuals. And so the takeover of the Republican Party by the immorality of the homosexual agenda is almost complete. It's almost complete. And this is part of the disease of democracy. One of the symptoms of the disease is that people who support a candidate, a politician, overwhelmingly, then they try to justify whatever evil thing that politician does or says. That's one of the symptoms of the disease of democracy. If you're curious about what is wrong with democracy, is there some kind of a web page we could suggest that people go to? You know, of course, our website, kgov.com, is an incredible resource. And what my producer here is saying is that if anybody goes, so they could go just to our website and they could type in what? kgov.com/democracy. And if they type that in, they'll come up with a show, a program, and an article against democracy, the biblical argument against democracy. And there's also a political argument against democracy. And we went through both of these in the sermon yesterday at Denver Bible Church, the political argument and the biblical argument against democracy. Okay. So now we have the Munich terrorist and the media saying, and the government in Germany and the politically correct of the world saying that there is no link to Islamic terror. We cannot find any link to Islamic terrorism. But they immediately said, oh, but there is a link to right-wing extremist mass murderers. They immediately said that. Because if this guy was searching how to conduct a mass murder with handguns, if he was searching online to figure out the best way to do a mass murder, and he comes across some right-wing, alleged right-wing, atheist right-wing, whatever that means, terrorist attack, then they'll say, oh, see, he's motivated because he's a right-winger. And they said they could find no connection between him and Islamic terrorism. Sort of like the Pope saying, they ask him about homosexuality, and he says, who am I to judge? Who are you to judge? Well, for starters, you're the Pope. How about that, for starters? So there's no link to terror? The guy is shouting Allahu Akbar as he opens fire on children in a restaurant. And they can't find a connection between him and Islamic terrorists? So, boy, since that kgov.com/democracy works so well, what if somebody went to kgov.com/terror? kgov.com/terror. This website, we've been building it since the 1990s, and it is a wealth of information. People tell me, people from around the country, we've got one listener coming from Tampa, Florida next week. Is it next week? And he's coming out to attend Denver Bible Church for a Sunday, and we're really looking forward to that. But people from around the country, even out of the country, they say, you know, kgov.com, it's such a resource. We just go to it and we put slash whatever the issue is, like, should Christians judge? kgov.com/isgodoutsideoftime? kgov.com/whatever your interest is, the Big Bang, whatever, dinosaurs, whatever. And the information is among the most important pieces of information available on the entire internet on that topic. And typically, we build on the more important articles over the years, so they just continue to get richer and deeper and more effective in the ability to communicate and to persuade. So people will go to kgov.com and copy and paste when they are having discussions with others about such issues. So kgov.com/terror. What is that? Oh, what is terrorism? The correct definition of terrorism is. Well, this is an interesting page. And there is a bullet on here having to do with the Munich terrorist attack from Friday. So many terrorist attacks. It's just all so horrific, and it's hard to keep track of them. At church, we talked about the 80 innocent people murdered in Afghanistan. And what was it, about 300 sent to the hospital? And there's just, for the most part, it's an atrocity a day, per day. That's what's happening around the world. And so, and if you don't believe that, we link to the list of all the attacks, all the deadly Islamic terrorist attacks around the world, day in and day out since 9/11. There have been more than 28,000 deadly Muslim terrorist attacks since 9/11. 28,000 in 100 countries around the world, approximately. So one of the bullets at the top of that page says this: the link to terror is the justification. The link to terror is the justification. And I'll read this to you. It says, when governments and the media wrongly claim that a particular Muslim mass murderer has no link to Islam or no link to Islamic terror, realize that the only relevant connection to terrorism is the alleged justification that's used to commit an atrocity. A Muslim murderer shouting Allahu Akbar is by definition connected to Islamic terror. And why is it that right-wing, Bible-thumping Christian talk show hosts can see so clearly, and institutions that have spent millions trying to understand current events don't have a clue? Don't have a clue. So we show a photograph on this page of the New York Times front page, and it says, and I'm turning my computer around to my producer. He may see this on his own computer screen in the engineering room there. I'm not sure. KGov.com/terror. But there's a photo of this article on the front page of the New York Times. There's the New York Times. Doesn't sound too good, does it? Sounds wimpy. Sounds like a wimpy news outlet to me. Anyway, the photo shows the headline, the title of the article on page one, officials say no terrorist link is found for Munich gunman. So no terrorist link. This is a lengthy article. There is not a mention of him shouting Allahu Akbar. Not one mention. And that is so characteristic of them. You know, it's similar to a dying declaration. It's a killing declaration. It's like an excited utterance. When some Muslim is getting ready to murder people or in the process of, and he's shouting Allahu Akbar, or he pledges his allegiance to ISIS, I got a clue for the Department of Justice and Loretta Lynch. Guess what? We know his motive. He's an Islamic terrorist. So we have here five things to know about Munich's Ali Sunbali. That's his name, Ali Sunbali. He's an Iranian-German, dual citizenship. He came to Germany a couple years ago. Five things to know about Munich's Ali Sunbali, whom Germany, the New York Times, and the BBC and so on say had no connection to Islamic terror. Number one, he shouted Allahu Akbar as he began murdering children. Number two, he shouted Allahu Akbar as he began murdering children. Number three, he shouted Allahu Akbar as he began murdering children. Number four, he shouted Allahu Akbar as he began murdering children. And then number five, he shouted Allahu Akbar as he began murdering children. Those are the five things to know about Munich's Ali Sunbali. These are not all discrete, individual, unrelated attacks, 28,000 of them all over the country. There was just a march against terrorism by Muslims back east. They just had this march against terror, and like nobody showed up. You know, characteristically, the New York Times lengthy report claiming no terrorist link in Sambali's murder of 9 innocent people in Munich, it did not even mention the eyewitness report from a Muslim mother who was there at the restaurant with her child, who said that Sambali shouted Allahu Akbar just as he opened fire on the children who were sitting down with their legs under the table eating, so that they had a hard time. They couldn't even run away from his murderous atrocity. So early on, this was reported on CNN. You could hear the mother speaking on the UK's The Mirror and front page. But Real quickly, the mainstream media decided to drop the coverage of the link to Islam. And they dropped from 100 articles that he shouted Allahu Akbar, according to a Muslim eyewitness who was the mother there at the restaurant with her child. And not surprisingly, the lethally politically correct police chief in Munich, he admitted that his investigators had not even spoken to all the witnesses, certainly not to that woman yet. But he said this, he said, regardless, even if Ali Sanbali, even if he had said that phrase, Allahu Akbar, he said it would not automatically indicate anything. No, of course not. No, some people seethe with hatred and look for a justification to murder those they oppose. So just as when Black Lives Matter protesters chant for the killing of police officers, when some imams advocate killing infidels, the only link to terror is when justification has been provided by groups calling for the killing of the victims. That's it. The link is the justification. The link is the justification.